can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now we had a very interesting chat to Mr. Blackman, John Blackman, who ripped the living suitcase out of Kyle and Jackie O.
Jacqueline Allen.
And then deleted the post, which, not sure about that, John. If you're going to do it, you've got to stick by it. Anyhow, I don't think, I think Kyle would probably welcome the...
The attention.
The comments. I mean, you would have to know when you did that stuff that would piss off or that would get up the nose of quite a few people and you push on anyhow. So I don't think he'd... I think he'd have a pretty thick skin.
The and advertisers would be loving it, surely.
Yep, and so there's a number of things that we wanted to chat about. First of all, I mentioned about the insects, the ill-bred and inbred insects who hold up traffic for their cause. You know, they think carbon dioxide is caused by... This is what's causing the planet to melt and all the ice is... It's just absolute lies. And the COVID injections and the pandemic and the inoculations are... absolutely scurrilously dishonest. All that stuff that this state endured through the former Premier's government and the crap we had to put up with it was a complete sham and a lie. And so then we get on to the thugs that are going around manhandling the community and putting people in fear of their lives and walking around in their daily pursuit of leisure and pleasure and living. And then you say, well, then when they get apprehended, they get the bail laws that allows people, thugs and felons and people who are mentally disabled and deranged, to go out onto the...
back onto the street.
Back onto the streets and they transgress again. What is going on? And it's parties like the Greens,
The Teals
and the Greens. What a bunch of bloody dopes who think everyone deserves a fair chance of... don't worry about actually apprehending people and putting them in prison until and incarcerating them until they can justify what their behaviour was.
I think the Greens are living in like the 1930s, 1940s. Like that, their idea is, yeah, maybe okay back 70 years ago, but these new nutters that they just get made bail and they'll just do the same burglary or armed holdup or God knows what they're doing. If you've been sentenced for something, and then they say, all right, you're out on bail. If you do something else after that, there should be no more bail. That should be you go back to prison or remand and that's it. You stay there.
Well, how sensible is that? The Greens staffed and comprised of people who have chlamydia and syphilis. seriously, how can you call that a political party when the leader won't stand in front of the Australian flag at a press conference? I mean, seriously. And then I notice a man called Farouk or Farakwai or... He bagged the... he said, well, condolences to the Queen for dying, but then went on a rant about how racist and sexist and homo... I mean, seriously, they are a disgrace, that party, and the people who vote for them, as I say, these are the insects that... these are the insects that affect your life, that are ill-bred, and often you can't help being ill-bred, but you can... worry about being inbred, and that's when cousins copulate and they end up producing people who are just sort of...
Greens politicians.
They breed politicians who are irregular people. You know, you look at them in the mirror and not one half of their body looks like the other half because they're all inbred. God,
jeez, we've got to get no. We've got to ask, got to get them on here. And
the Greens,
yeah,
that there wouldn't be game. I've asked people to come on here that I have a difference of opinion with, climate people, politicians who push the. So you went to the Dawn service, Dawn service, and had to endure. The Welcome to Country, I presume, did you?
Yeah, we had the same guy. I know, Uncle Jack. Yeah, I think
just
his
a
name
rod.
Is.
It is just yep. he, just an absolute rod.
And he's the same leaves as
making a living out of going around welcoming us to the country that the Anzac, the very service that you went to, which was to protect this country, was fought by Aboriginal people,
absolutely everybody,
and white people,
yep.
and people who were in this country, and if they hadn't gone over there. Welcome to country. You wouldn't have a country to welcome yourself to. So, honestly.
Look, I understand that they, you know, it's all inclusive, but I've never noticed it as more blatant as that.
Now, because no one's game to push back and say, hey, this is nonsense. It's not nonsense, but ease up a bit. I mean,
maybe that's the word. Ease up.
Ease up a bit. I said, don't patronise us and make us feel uncomfortable when there's no necessary. Auntie Joyce goes around doing it. They just come out of the woodwork. They suddenly appear and you think, but why do we have to be browbeaten by this nonsense? We are Australians. And the very fact that you went to a Dawn service to commemorate the people who made this country what it is, and they did. Why we have to put up with that? It's just. But
I think it's not going anywhere soon. So that's it. Is what it is. Actually, can I do a shout out just while we're on that? I had a person come up to me and say, "You're where? Ivan Milat," and I said,
"Where?"
at the Young and Jackson's Hotel at about 7:30 in the morning while I was having a.
Just a bitterly cold after the Dawn service.
After the Dawn service, yeah. So her name is Jan and she listens every week. She's here in Melbourne. She lives in the Melburnian. Oh, I don't know whether I should say that.
Oh, yes, the Melburnian.
Down on St Kilda Road. Oh, so
no,
shout out to Jan. Thank you. Yep.
And she thought you were Ivan Milat.
Yeah, and I said, now, sir, no, he's dead.
someone buttonholed us somewhere and said... I said, we'll give you a shout-out, and you wrote it down because you're efficient. And I'm giving a shout-out also to MichaelChristianMenswear.com because he hasn't got anyone for us to shout out for, but we've got some caps here that Doug Hawkins. Now, Ivan, no one's asked, can we put your – you haven't got a number. You haven't got a football number we can put on the caps. So we could get some with Ivan, if you like. Oh, that's a mix, a project for MichaelChristianMenswear.com. But if you want Doug Hawkins, I haven't got him to sign him yet because when he comes in, I'll get him to sign these caps. You can get a Doug Hawkins and me, 17 and 7. We'll sign them. They're collector's items, and he's letting them go. And beanies, you can get beanies. MichaelChristianMenswear.com said, oh, the beanies are just a very big demand. And the little people who make the caps, the little
sweatshop.
The sweatshop underage people in China who make them, or wherever they are in Vietnam, he can't keep up with them. He said they're just trying to get underage people who are 6 and 7 to make them for us. But don't think we're any exception. Nike and Adidas, and they all get their stuff and made from the same kids. So here we are. We've got the shout-out. Well done, Sue. this is Anthony O'Connell. We met him at Crown.
Right.
And he said...
That's the place that's shedding 1,000 jobs.
Is it?
It is, yep. Crown Consortium.
I see. Why? Is it
not we're not gambling enough.
Aren't we?
No.
1,000. Anthony O'Connell. Well, good on you, Anthony O'Connell. How did we meet him?
if you could just see. So we are videotaping this.
Because he was dancing.
Saturday night.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well done. We went to the, my son, Jack, and about 16 of us went to the Palms at the Crown to see a fantastic artist, a local lad called Jason Dean. And he did a compilation, the first half of his show. He did Elton John songs And then he came back and for the second half did Billy Joel songs and played the piano and was absolutely fantastic. World class he was. And he's just a regular lad who's got a job. He's got a job in a recording.
Finally someone that's got a job.
And he's got a job and he doesn't do this full time, but I don't think he does it full time, does he? And he was absolutely brilliant, and we had a great time. And Anthony O'Connell was there bopping away, and I think that's what Sue meant when she started gyrating there, unless she's getting frisky. So good on Anthony O'Connell. And if you want the signature collector's caps from Mick Christian, he's in touch with the sweatshop people who employ the underage people who make them. And they've got 17 on one side and 7 on the other.
Yep.
And I feel embarrassed, Ivan, because unless you can get a number, I can put Ivan on there, or I don't know. We'll work it out.
The joke, I probably won't keep going with it.
No.
What about Rex? Does Mick have any caps left with Rex's signatures or anything like that?
I don't think Mick usually lets us know how things are going, so he could tell us what the state of the beanies are. Beanies have been big, and the caps have been big, and they're going to be big because Doug Hawkins is very well. Doug's going around Australia as a result of being on here doing tours. I'm the only person that doesn't get picked up.
Yep.
So that is he. Now, I was going to mention. Oh, so you're a minor. You were
minor. Yes, yeah, not an OR.
No, I don't mean you're an underage. Yep. But you're a minor. So I want to ask you this. I see. I'm just reading this out now.
Yep.
Chris and Rebecca Judd are in a financial hole. They're not going broke, but they've just done some money, apparently. I'm just reading this out. After a mining company they had heavily invested in went bust.
Went bust, okay.
Chris and Beck Judd were among the largest shareholders in Perth-based iron ore miner Elmore Limited and went into administration last week. It could see the former West Coast Eagles and Carlton captain left with nothing to show for his investment. Not nothing to show for him, but he's done the investment, which is always a risk if you buy low-priced shares. But have you heard of Elmore Mining? No, really what I'm asking you.
No, that's a bit of a small one there. The iron ore price, it's come off a bit, but it's, you know, everyone's still making money. I remember when I worked for one of the companies, we were selling iron ore for about $160 a ton, and our break-even cost, I think from memory, was $15 a ton. So we're absolutely making money hand over fist. So I don't know what it's like these days, like absolutely currently. But geez, you'd think if you've not made any money for iron ore.
So in the clamour for this state to show how progressive and how virtuous it is to ban the Yallourn Power Station, who ran on coal and has more coal under the Gippsland soil for 200 years they could supply coal to the world.
Yep.
Why don't they supply coal to the world?
We do.
Not from here, we don't. Why don't they open up the open cut mine at Yallourn and send the coal over to all the countries in the world who keep building coal-fired power stations? That would solve the problem of this country being this state being in absolute financial ruin almost overnight. So why wouldn't they dig it up and send it over?
They probably will eventually.
Do you think
when they get rid of the insects
who stop us driving our cars and people think this is futile because it's got nothing to do with us, nothing. The electric vehicles is a hoax, an absolute hoax, and so many people say it, along with the people who say the COVID injections and whatever you had to have done. What do you call it? Not inoculations. The COVID.
The jabs.
Vaccinations. Stanley OAM, yep. Vaccinations. They say they are causing more trouble, and they were never sanctioned and never tested, and we're just like sheep. But mind
guinea
you,
pigs.
We mentioned this here, and we'll say again, if people like Ian Cook from iCook Foods can be run out of business by dishonesty and corruption and sheer lies just for the sake of a public company run by the government, which went broke after you put incompetent people in to run it. If that can happen, you can do anything. You can have vaccinations that don't work. You can have electric vehicle. You can do whatever you like.
Oh, you can do anything.
You can do anything.
And incidentally, there's a new vaccination. It's for the flu jab. And they say you won't, it'll be a one-time, it'll be a one-time jab, lifetime jab. And you won't need every year to go and have a different strain of the new flu jab. So it'll be once forever. Do you think you'd do that? Do you think that's...
Well, he's bringing it out. The companies have brought out the vaccinations for the COVID, or has it been tested?
Well, they're in testing at the moment. But maybe I might leave that for the next 10, 20 years.
So you mentioned Max Verstappen.
Yep.
Getting $250,000 a year, $1 million a year. I just can't believe that.
Yeah, two.
I'm not disputing what you say.
But it's a lot of money.
Could not possibly be right. But I'm going to read out. No, I can't find it, of course, Sue, because you sent this to me. But why did you just send it to me on? I was going to read out the salaries of some of the AFL players and some of the higher earning people around the world.
Yep.
But while I'm looking it up, what is the most amazing... Now, here's a question without notice. I've got three questions. What is the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your lifetime? What is the most exciting sporting event you've ever seen in your lifetime? And what event are you looking forward to most coming up? Now, they're pretty vague questions.
This is Dorothy Dix questions, as you
say. No, not Dorothy Dix. So what is the most amazing thing you've ever seen? Well, let me tell you what track we're on. The most amazing thing I've ever seen is 9/11, those planes flying into the Twin Towers.
Yeah, wow.
That is just, I don't care what you say. Yeah. That's the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. And how that came about and how they engineered that and how that is just the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. That's A.
Yep.
B.
All right.
The B. You'll love this, Ivan, because you won't even know the event. You'll know the Muhammad Ali George Foreman event in Zaire, I think. Was it the affair
Africa?
In Zaire or the Rumble in the Jungle?
Rumble in the Jungle. George Foreman.
That is the most. Yes, that's the best sporting event I've seen.
The build up,
and because no one expected Ali to win, and the second most greatest sporting event almost I've seen was, wait for this, was when Shane Van Gisbergen won the Chicago Road Race last year.
In the wet?
Came over from Australia from driving supercars. He's a New Zealander. Went over and took on the best NASCAR drivers and won. That is, I sat and watched that. I was so nervous that he wasn't going to win and he was going to crash. That is almost the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. And the greatest event I'm looking forward to,
right, this will be good,
is the election of Donald Trump as the 47th president.
November this year.
Because you want to see the mainstream talk about grubs and pedophiles and syphilis-ridden chlamydia people in the mainstream media and the Democrats. You want to see what they're doing in order to stop him running, because they're shit scared he's going to beat that man who's dead. How can you be shit scared of beating a man who's dead? Someone's working Joe Biden with a foot pedal. They got to stick up his coit and they're opening his mouth and shutting it. And you think, how can you be an ally of a country that allows that man to head it?
I think Donald Trump's got it in the bag already, unless they've got him in jail somewhere.
Well,
that's the, for me, that's the only way that they can stop it. And maybe, I don't know, the algorithms on TikTok and all that and the social
algorithm.
Algorithm, is it? Yeah, algorithms.
Yeah. No, they're leaving no stone unturned. And in the end, they'll just shoot him. That's what they'll probably do. They will.
Wow.
No.
That'll be a civil war. If that was the case, that'd have to go very, very badly.
So that's looking forward to November this year when the American elections come up. And I'll take the day off, not that I'm working. I can take the year off. In fact, I might fly over for it. Wouldn't that? There's a death wish.
Yeah.
Put a make put America the great on a cap on and go over and see how long you last.
Sue Stanley with some
yes, some suggestive.
The questions?
Go on.
What? All right. What was the first one? The
most amazing the most thing amazing you've ever place. Seen. Was have it to be moon landing or
no? See, that was before my time. The 9/11. Yeah, I'll give you that. Although at the time we weren't sure what we were watching. I remember watching the TV at home, and I went to bed, of course. So, yeah, it was just one of those things. But no, the best thing was just recent. The pyramids. I went to be inside the pyramids, and one of the lucky few to get in, I guess.
Yes, I've got a picture of me inside the pyramids. Egyptian guide said, you're not allowed to take photos in the... I don't think he spoke like that, but he said, you're not allowed to take photos in the cyst, is it called? No, not the cyst.
Crypt?
Crist.
Crypt.
Crypt.
Crypt, yeah, crypt I think.
That's a thing you got on your ass. In the crypt. He said, you can't take photographs with flash, he said, because...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it... Oh, no, death is the spirit. He said... But if you give me $5, he said, I'll take it for you. So he took it. they're good. Yeah. So very claustrophobic. So that was the best thing you've seen, is it?
That's questions without notice. Yes, that's just off the top of my head. That was quite amazing to be in there.
Yes, to be in there.
And I'm thinking our little backyard here, they were done 3,000, 5,000 years ago. What have we got here?
Yes.
Hey, we've got
an indigenous man contacted me on, what is it, Facebook or something?
Yep.
And he said, I'm not sure if he's having a go at me or not, but he said, I'm sick of all this stuff about that. And he said, don't you know that we invented the stick? Which I thought was a good comment. I think he was... saying he's just about sick of... I think he was agreeing with what I say, but he said, we invented the stick, which when you think about the pyramids and the Incas and what they did, we invented the stick. So the highest paid sports people, I think they're all men. I think they're all men, as it turns out. This is not a sexist thing or misogynistic, but they're all men. Highest paid sportsman.
Okay.
Who would you reckon is number one? You could easily get these wrong. This is not a test of your general knowledge necessarily.
Their sporting field would be soccer. Would that be right? Okay.
So, yeah. And yeah, I'll give
now
you
I don't know.
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, okay.
So
how much?
Well, so there you are. He says that his salary is... they say is $215 million a year.
Wow.
I just can't comprehend that someone can earn that for playing a sport. It must be everything else that goes on top of it. This is why I say Max Verstappen couldn't possibly be paid. Then it goes John Rahm from golf, right?
So,
and why? Because the LIV tournament run by the Saudis, they gave him... $300 million to sign on. $300 million to sign on.
Just to sign.
And they've offered someone $1 billion to sign on just to try and see if they can screw up the PGA.
This is the Greg Norman.
This is it.
Facility.
Okay. LeBron James.
Basketballer.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Patrick Patrick Mahoney.
Dangerfield?
No. Patrick Dangerfield. We'll get on to the Patrick Dangerfield on the AFL. You'd be interested to know where he comes. Max Verstappen, it says he earns $70 million a year currently, at the minute driving his car.
Okay.
Then Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese baseballer who has taken the baseball world by storm. Gotcha. He's not only a great hitter, but he's a great pitcher. And he got signed up for $500 million for 10 years, did he?
Wow.
Or $1 billion for 10 years. I don't know, I'm making that up. Novak Djokovic, who... well, they say he earns $16 million a year, but that would just be in, that's not nonsense.
That'd just be tournaments, really, not sponsors. And
that's men only. Then we got on to the Then we got on to the AFL. So who do you reckon is the highest paid? This is what it says here. Do you reckon is the highest paid player in the AFL? Well, the obvious one would be.
Let me think about that.
Well, who do you reckon?
I was going to say the guy that probably just left, Buddy Franklin. He was probably one of the highest ones, but
Ivan, I'm asking the people playing today, who is the highest paid AFL player today, do you reckon?
Can you give me a team?
Fucking have a guess at it, Ivan, please.
Who? Geelong?
No.
Oh. I can't go through all the teams. Sydney?
Did he not see me just whisper it to him?
Yeah, no, my eyes aren't. I didn't have my glasses on.
Well, how close do you want to be? I'll do it again. This is exactly what I did. He said, look at me.
Yep. Jason Ackermanis.
Fucking Jason Ackermanis. Fucking Dustin Martin.
Oh, really?
Did you not see that when I said those words to you?
No.
Dustin Martin. I was trying to help you out. So they reckon he's on 1.5.
Wow. For a few seasons, maybe. Or one season.
They said he's a 1.5 million a season. That's what they say, right?
All right. That's good.
Then there's a man that I don't think I've actually heard of.
Yep.
Who's on the same amount.
He can't be under the salary cap for the same team, so it'd have to be a different team. Brisbane? Oh.
In fact, this man is the highest. They say this man's the highest paid player in the competition.
Toby Green.
Well, no, Toby Green's here.
Yep.
Have you heard of Ben McKay?
No, sorry.
They've made that up, have they?
Ben McKay. Hang on.
You heard of Ben McKay? Ben McKay's on 1.5 million a year.
Hang on.
Ben McKay. I can honestly say I've never heard of Ben McKay, but. That does Nathan Fyfe from Fremantle. He's a star. He's on. These people are over a million.
Ben McKay.
You heard of him? Read him out.
Ben McKay is AFL player playing Essendon Football Club.
Yep.
Jeez.
Why is he on 1.5?
Yep.
That's a mistake. Is it?
It got to be. How much does Ben McKay make? 1.5. Next.
What? Why? Wow. Where'd he come from? What is he?
Here we go. You know this guy. Port Adelaide great Kane Corns. There's questions whether a new recruit, Ben McKay, is prepared for the scrutiny coming his way in 2024. Yeah. Upwards of 1.5 million. Jeez, that's a...
Why is he... what is he? A tall... What is he?
2.02 meters.
Oh, no, so he's
104 kilos. I didn't think we were talking about weight.
He's 6'7" or 6'8", is he?
So he must be a ruckman. Yeah.
And he's on 1.5 mil. Holy mackerel!
Yep.
And then there's Jeremy McGovern, and then there's Tim Kelly, and then there's Bonton Pelly. Half of these people I've heard: Clayton Oliver, Petrarca, Cameron. Now, so. I couldn't find... I would have thought Jeremy Cameron would have been the highest paid. I would pay Jeremy Cameron the highest amount of money. He's a star.
Right.
But I can't see... And you asked about...
Dangerfield.
Here that 950,000 a year this goes down to, and he's not in that group, but he might have just been left out, or he mightn't want his salary to be noticed.
Yep, for tax reasons, maybe.
Well, I don't suppose. Yeah, tax reasons. Hey. So that's it. So Ben McKay, good on Ben. Fancy having never heard of the man who's the host plate. I've never, mind you, because I don't take much interest in it.
Well, I take a bit and I don't know it. So I've got to follow that up.
So another man who used to play for, I think, three different clubs, St Kilda, Carlton. Who else did he play for? St Kilda? Hawthorn, he did too, Sue Stanley OAM. That's Ricky Nixon. Did he? Ricky, if you opened up the paper, you saw a security guard punching the living shit out of him, and you thought, hello, he's in it again. But no. It was a staged photo for a film that The Chicken is in. And
who's he playing? Or do we know?
People would have opened that up and thought, hello, there he is again. He's been lumbered.
Yep.
But it was a staged photo. I don't know what's he – didn't read it. I don't know what film he's playing. But
yep. We should get him in. He hasn't been in for a while.
Typecast it would be, because if it's someone getting thumped by security, he wouldn't have to act too much. Happens every other week. And we got the script, Greg Evans and I, for a film that they're writing, not about us, but they want us to be in it. But we don't...
It's not the same movie, is it?
No. I don't think it's... I don't know what movie it is, but we had the people in here last week. I'm desperately trying to remember what I was going to speak to you about. Go on, Ivan, if you've got anything else.
Yep, all right, on the same theme as football. Well, it is football. Cody Waitman, he's a player for the Western Bulldogs. He's going to be out for a few games. Dislocated his elbow. It's the fourth time he's dislocated it this year. And then he's going to have surgery and he'll be back in round 17. How many times do you dislocate your elbow before you just say, right, enough's enough, I've got to have
get
surgery?
Get a prosthetic arm, you reckon?
Well... Yeah, you'd have to. Four times is probably enough. Have the surgery, back round 17, and then get ready for the finals.
Vladimir Putin, who might just have a stiff arm down the side of his, he can't walk with any.
Can't
lift it up. He can't lift a cup of tea in case his elbow comes out. He can't lift anything. Yeah, I like
just
that.
Just waiting for surgery.
If you could ask Vladimir Putin one question if you're sitting opposite you.
You said,
I noticed you walk with a stiff arm. Yeah, that would be a winner. That would go around the world. Reuters would pick that up. That would go around the world.
Yep, that's what he's...
Man was granted an interview by Vladimir Putin on You Cannot Be Serious. And
opening question.
I noticed you've got a stiff arm there. What's that from?
What's it from? We should have asked the Aussie Cossack whether... what's the go there?
Now, we don't have anyone to interview today because there was a female, who's called Alana something. Alana's sailing around the world solo on a little yacht, and she pulled in at Williamstown to effect repairs to her yacht. And the person, Anthony from... What's his company called? He makes clears for boats. He'll be annoyed that I can't think of his company. He said, why don't you speak to Alana? And he gave me her number, and I thought it'd be good for Alana to come in. Did she have a dog? No. She did. She's sailing around the world.
So
in
not
a yacht.
Solo.
What?
So not solo around
no,
the world.
No, she got the dog. I'm not sure the dog's doing a hell of a lot. Might pull in the the heady. Which is the head sail? Heady. That's right. It's the head. The yachts people call it the heady. We call heady something different. But a heady to a yachtsman is the
head.
The head sail, the headsail, as opposed to the spinnaker. And so we were going to. Don't tell me this hasn't been recording. Sue came around to push a plug in.
I get nervous when Sue comes around looking at cables.
Jesus. So. Anyhow, I texted Alana yesterday because Anthony said from the Clears Company in Williamstown, he said, why don't you speak to Alana? What would you ask Alana if she came near? She'd probably bring the dog in. What would you ask Alana? She's sailing around the world in a yacht which is no bigger than the table we're sitting at, apparently. What would you ask Alana? Yeah, would she got a withered arm?
Both your arms work?
I thought it'd be interesting, why is she doing it? And would you do that for? But it's a good test of your mental fortitude over the elements, and not many people could say they've done that.
No, not too many, and not too many people would want to do that. Really? How safe would that be for a single person?
But did she ghost you? Did she? Did she ring you back?
No.
She ghosted you.
Well, is that what that means? Well, maybe she's disembarked. Maybe she's left port and is now in the middle of the Pacific on the way on a. Because Anthony told me, the man from the Clears Company, Anthony told me that she was in there 8 days ago, he told me, didn't he? So maybe she's had the repairs done to the boat and she's in the middle of the Pacific on her way around the world, or else...
She's left the building.
Alana has left the building.
Would you get reception? Like how... Well, would your phone work? Would your internet? Phone,
wouldn't she? Or she wouldn't have Starlink. Oh, no. So apparently Starlink. Very expensive. Starlink. So
she'd have a sat phone.
So yep. Anyhow, we were going to try and get Alana to come in. So she couldn't come in. And then I was going to ask, because we had great response to the people, first of all, Captain Peter Jansen,
yep.
Who to this day still hasn't told us how he made his money, but that's a secret he'll take to the grave. And then we had last week John Michael Howson. We had fantastic reports about John Michael Howson and how they enjoyed that. And I thought, in the spirit of asking people who've been stars in the industry, wait till Jackie O and Kyle bite the dust and then we'll speak to them. We probably won't. But then I thought, well, we'll ask the great Philip Brady. Phil said he would be happy to do it, but he's had dislocated his hip, I think, or something, or he was incapacitated. And when it comes good, what?
Yeah, that would sort of incapacitate you, wouldn't it? A busted hip.
Yep. Yep. I said we could go to him because we went to the captain, Peter Jansen, who's just, we went to him. But Phil said no. So he was either politely declining or he said he would do it.
Or it's legit.
No, I'm not sure he would do it.
So Philip Brady, he was with Bruce Mansfield Now, did he do a program overnight?
Yes, was that? He did. On Sunday. I don't know what they did, but and he is part of that infamous call-in when the bloke called in and said,
"Oh yeah, Tony from someone from somewhere."
He was part of the infamous when the bloke rang in. What was his name? And he said, "Hello, Mr. Brady and Mr. Mansfield. Yeah. I've got a joke for you." What is the funniest smelling thing in the world? And I'm not sure that I can say the word, but...
this was on national radio.
This was on national radio. Yeah. He said, what is the funniest smelling thing in the world? And I shouldn't say the word. Can I say the word? Can I? Because it's not me saying it. Well, it is me saying it. Anyhow, so this is on national. You can look it up.
Yep.
And they were nice and patronising to him, and they said, what was his name? It wasn't Toby. It was might have been Toby. He said, hello, it's Toby here. And he said, hello, Toby. And Phil Bruce Manfield said, yes, what is it, Toby? He said, I wanted to ask you a question. And Phil said, what is it? He said, what is the funniest smelling thing in the world? And Phil said, and Bruce said, I don't know, Toby, what is, they built it up, what is the most funniest smelling thing in the world? And he said, an anchovy's cunt. And there was 3 seconds of silence. and Bruce or Phil said, Toby, you've let yourself down, never call in again. And then they proceeded to take the piss out of it. 5 minutes, they said, that's shocking. He said, Queenie, who listens to this every night, has just turned the radio off. And even the janitor has got a shock and he's not coming in anymore. I'm sorry if I said the C word, but that's what Toby said. And so that's Phil. Phil, we could have asked him about that. He said, went around the world.
Is there not, in radio, is there not a 3-second delay, yes, or you, there's, well, a, there's
think,
a button?
I think that possibly at that time of the night, people aren't concentrating. They would think that somebody who rings in is going to ask, how do you get the stain off my rug? Or you put a bit of baking soda on it. Or, they weren't prepared for Toby, I don't think. Mind you, they might have thought it was such good copy that they let it go, knowing that people would find amusing. That's probably where Jackie O and Kyle got a lot of their material. In fact, I'm going to YouTube it now. I'll just play it to you. You think I'm making it up? And then we could play the... I've got this on here. We could play the bloke who got the gerbil stuck up his ort. Remember that? And they tried to.
That was Don. It. Don was here, wasn't he, for that? Yeah. Not Don personally.
Yeah, I could play that now, I think. I think I could. I won't play it all, but I think it's on here. Just to, if I push that now, will that play through the head?
It'll play something.
No. Oh, no.
No, not that one.
Hang on now. We're just pushing all the buttons. Hang on.
Cannot be.
No.
Here's a fax from Cooter in
That's it. Can you hear that?
Yep.
Will I play this? We'll end on this. People love this. This is a fact. Listen.
Here's a fax from Cooter in Orlando who sends me a copy of a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He says, a prestigious newspaper, not the oft-maligned weekly World News. Quoting the story, in retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake, but I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kinky shouted out, Armageddon! My cue that he had had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him. At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman described what happened next. The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas, and flame shot out the tube, igniting Mr. Tomaszewski's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Armageddon! Armageddon!
This is like trying to read the news.
Tomaszewski. Tomaszewski suffered second-degree burns and a broken nose from the impact of the gerbil. While Farnham suffered first and second-degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. Armageddon!
That's brilliant.
What would John Blackman think of that?
Oh, shit. I don't know if that's true or not, but they had that was a report in the New York, the Los Angeles Times or something, and it was actually a written article. And the bloke, I don't know if that's made up. It sounded. They're trying to read it. Now, if I could just find Bruce and Phil. Bruce and Phil. No, we won't do that. Anyhow, look, we've done that.
One other thing, the Mike Tyson fight I was telling you just before that. So that Mike Tyson fight with Jake Paul, that's in the 20th of July, that's now been sanctioned by the Las Vegas Boxing Commission. So it's a real deal now. So that's going to count towards his knockouts or his number of fights.
So no headgear. Pay-per-view, is it?
Yeah, Netflix on that one.
Netflix?
On that platform, yep. So if you've got Netflix...
You can watch it.
You can... I think you'll have to pay. Well, you'll have to pay, but you'll be able to watch it on that platform.
That's
different?
No, that's called...
pay-per-view or something? No.
What's the station called where you have to pay? The channel? No, it's called
Foxtel.
Christ.
Oh, KO.
It's called. No. It doesn't matter what it's called. It's called Prime Time, not Prime Time.
Peacock.
The fuck are you talking about, Peacock?
Peacock. No, don't know that one.
No, you know what it's called.
Main event. There we go. Main event.
Peacock.
All right, I'm gonna be texting.
Anyhow, I just said Alana didn't ring us back about the going around the world in a boat. I don't know how we got on to Toby saying an anchovy, and I don't know how we got on to Ragu, who propelled out like a rodent and broke the bloke's nose. So I don't know how we got on to that. The other people we were trying to get in, it was Phil, Alana, and that's about it.
Has there been any people that you've been after and they just constantly say no, no? Have you got a list of people?
There's people say no. For different reasons.
Yep.
But we never pester them. If they don't want to come on, they don't want to come on. Yep. So have a lot of people ask to come on.
Yep.
And we're very happy for them to come on if there's some interest in them coming on. A lot of people want to come on just to promote something.
Yep.
And that's fair all right enough. As long as there's some interest in it.
Mm.
Not interest, as long as people think, well, shit, this is just sort of a paid political chat, which we're not into. Anyhow, so there we are. I'm sure there was something else I was going to say. Go on.
Yep, we've spoken about the Ricky Nixon.
Yeah, Ricky Nixon.
The fishing. Fishing, I know you're not into fishing, but the young fella up in Northern Territory, him and his sister hooked a barramundi and worth $1 million.
What?
Yep, they tagged it. They put a tag in it. Ten years ago, Fisheries put a tag in this barramundi, and they said if you catch it, there's $1 million. Yeah,
catch it again.
And the young fella up there, Aboriginal kid, he caught it and went to the Fisheries, and they said, "Yep, that's the tag. Here's your $1 million." And he said, Carl had him on his show, on the Today Show this morning, and he said, what are you going to do with $1 million? And he says, I'm slowly going to spend it. So good luck to him. Nah, good on him.
Well, yeah, good on him.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. That's it. So we're winding it up, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Back again. I'm just crazy about you.